Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Your window on the world continues the article on thinking about our unstoppable brain today. So let's look inside our brains as we begin our lesson and see what we can find there. Well, here we are back in our classroom with this AAA lesson, advanced articles.
That's right.
Difficult. And thanks for being with us, Josh.
Good to be back here, Doris.
And Campbell.
It's always great to be here.
And, of course, we have to have Stephanie with us.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, we need our nurse today for sure. We need a couple of neurosurgeons and, you know.
my brain is swelling from all the information.
I'm telling you, just trying to understand this article. Don't give up because we've got one more day. And remember, your brain can still be very nimble. I think you can still understand this.
Yes, for sure. We're rewiring our brains as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so our brain is unstoppable. So let's stretch it out today and see what we can learn.
Yes.
So what did we learn yesterday? And just kind of, you know, a quick summary there.
Well, we learned that the brain, in your teenage years, is constantly rewiring and wiring itself. And you think about all the things that kids learn and how fast they learn. And we learned a little bit on why that happens.
Right. We learned that the teenage brain, it responds to the environment quickly. And so right now, researchers and doctors are trying to see how to recapture that so that we can help people with some brain injuries and nervous system injuries to be able to relearn things more quickly.
Well, I'd like to ask, you know, Stephanie kind of a medical question here, see what she thinks about it, because I've heard that kids learn a lot faster because they have a lot of brain cells, but that our brain cells, some of them gradually die off or something. Is that true? You have more brain cells when you're younger or not?
It's more of the wiring and rewiring mechanism that work. When
not
you
so
are
many
young.
Cells, but whether they're
right.
How they're wired, huh?
Exactly. They keep regenerating.
So I'm not
going
to have to worry about losing all my brain cells.
That's no, that's still there, Doris.
The
you've lost very many,
no.
Doris.
I don't know. You know, I had a birthday yesterday, and that makes me 1 year older.
That's true.
But we're all 1 year older all the time, and we have to keep learning, right?
Yes.
Right.
And that, I think, keeps our brain going. If we just keep on, don't say, oh, I'm too old to learn.
Right.
You're never too old to really learn, actually.
Yeah, I think just like physical exercise keeps your body healthy and nimble, I think mental exercise does the same thing for your brain.
Right. And sometimes you can't do as much physical exercise, but you can still do the mental exercise. You don't have a good excuse for that, right?
No. Mm-hmm. Like studying AAA articles.
That's right.
You're preaching to the choir.
We'll talk about that. So let's all open our magazines to page 14 and 15. And today we're going to start on page 15. Now, yesterday when we closed, Stephanie was trying to explain about this protein. And which one was she talking about? There's so many proteins.
Oh, the no-go receptor 1.
I never heard of that before.
I hadn't either.
I might not ever hear about it again, but at least I'm going to struggle through this lesson.
I looked for it on the sides of food packaging last night.
Could you
Stephanie,
find it?
But I didn't see
it's
it
not
anywhere.
It's not there.
Did it say protein? Well, I said protein.
Oh, lots of proteins, but these are brain proteins, which you said are chemicals that unlock the keys in your brain.
Right. Just imagine it as a key and lock analogy. And the receptors are the locks. And the chemicals that connects to these receptors, they are keys.
Well, it says, you know, that when they have a lot of that in the brain, a lot of that protein, for some reason it's there, then the mice didn't recover as well from their brain and spinal cord injuries. Why didn't they?
I think it's important to keep in mind that no-go receptor 1 is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's a normal part of your brain becoming stabilized, becoming adult brain.
Mm-hmm.
So no-go receptor 1, it is normal. It's not a bad thing having plentiful of it in your brain. So these mice, they do not recover as well from these injuries because they are unable to recover their normal function, which means they're unable to relearn. When you have too much or a lot of no-go receptors in your brain, it's hard for you to relearn new skills.
Because you're already kind of where they are now. They can't go back to learning like a child. It's kind of hard to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the idea is that the no-go receptors, it stabilizes your brain so that it kind of slows down that wiring and the rewiring process. So it helps you to – it's a good thing in that it helps you to retain what you've learned. But when you've lost some of the things that you've learned, how can we regain –
learn them again.
Right, relearn.
Yeah, that's
that.
A question, isn't
yeah.
it? Okay, well, maybe today's lesson will help our minds a little bit. So let's read about it here on page 15. We're going to take the rest of the first column on page 15.
When the research team chemically plugged up the NOGO receptors in the brains of adult mice, they found that even mice whose brains had made the transition to plodding adulthood regained the speed of an adolescent brain at wiring and rewiring itself. Adult mice with normal levels of NOGO receptor 1 needed to live in cages that plied them with constant stimulation if their brain cells were to show evidence they were learning new skills. But the brains of adult mice whose NOGO receptors were knocked out were showing signs of intensive learning, even when they were housed in cages that offered them little stimulation. The two sets of mice appeared in all respects the same in early childhood and adolescence. It was only with the transition to adulthood that the protein's power to tame the brain's constant rewiring act became evident.
All right, so here we are talking about the research team and what they did with this NOGO receptor. So they plugged up the NOGO receptors in the brains of adult mice. So here we're talking about a study they did on mice, and it produced some interesting results.
It's interesting how they can do that chemically to plug up certain things and stop things when chemicals can cause them to grow or to stop growing.
Mm-hmm. It is incredible. And we're doing so much amazing research on rats and mice.
I know,
and their
mm-hmm.
brains are so small. How do they get in there on these tiny brains?
I think it's more cost-effective.
I think they do it on monkeys or something, it seems like, but instead of little rats.
No, we are learning so much from mice.
Okay, well, they seem to use them all the time. But anyway, what does this tell us then?
So the scientists realized that when they plug up or to stop the chemicals from connecting with the receptors, they realized that the brain of these adults, the plodding brain, they started to regain the speed of a young brain, which means it becomes faster when it starts to relearn stuff.
It's pretty interesting.
And plodding, we used that word yesterday, meaning something slow, continuous, done without imagination. And so now that plodding adult brain has regained its youthfulness, its nimbleness, like we talked about yesterday.
Right.
Because people, when they've been in an accident or something, they need to learn, maybe to learn to walk again or to forget about something. They have to start rewiring so that they have that kind of nimbleness that they had when they were younger, right?
Right, so make new connections. I think pretty much when certain parts of your brain are damaged, it's hard to heal that area. So what your brain needs to do is rewire, make new connections, and use different parts of the brain to do something that you used to do.
Maybe that's why little kids, you know, can get over things early. Something happens, they cry, and the next minute they're laughing again. But an adult, they might carry that for days. Does that have something to do with that, the way they get over things easier?
Yes, definitely has something to do with that.
That wiring has to do with it. No wonder. You know, kids can be happy one minute and sad the next minute, but adults, they have a harder time getting out of that.
Right. Yeah, and they hold on to things for a long time. I mean, you think about a kid, you know, that you meet them one day, you have a great time with them, and then the next day they don't remember who you are, you know? It's just part of that remembering and that wiring and rewiring.
Well, anyway, this next part goes on to talk about the adult mice then. And what they did with them, they put them in these cages. It was pretty interesting.
Yes. So the adult mice with the normal levels, so the non-plugged-up mice are living in cages and then plied with constant stimulation in their brain. And when you're plied with something, it just means that you're given something in a continuous dose, that you're supplied.
Try to get them to learn new things, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. See how they did on it.
And that was done to show evidence that they were learning new skills. And evidence, of course, is the proof of something. the evidence that your English learning is going well is that you're improving.
So they're getting older, see whether they can learn new things. What happened here, it said?
But then they also had a different set of mice who they plugged up the NOGO receptors.
They knocked them out.
They knocked them out, right? So
not the mice.
Not the mice. The receptors.
Them, right?
Right. Not so the they mice, stopped these receptors from functioning. And what they noticed was that even though they were in cages without this constant supply of stimulation, they were still learning and rewiring and growing.
Hmm. It was pretty interesting, huh?
Intensive learning. I wonder, how do you see a mice that's, you know, intensively learning something?
How to get out of the mousetrap.
You got a book carrying around.
Put them in a maze and get them walk around.
I think French.
What's amazing is they're able to put sensors on the skull. Like they did this with my daughter, where they can sense the electrons and the electrical, you know, pulses that are being sent. So they can measure that, actually.
Oh, wow.
That's really almost, you know, science fiction type,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it seems it.
But the two sets of mice seemed the same in early childhood and adolescence. But when they had to make this change or transition to adulthood, then that protein power to tame the brain's really constant rewiring act became evident. So tell us what that actually means, Steph.
I would like to think of this whole paragraph in an analogy way. So if you think of it as two mice, okay, well, both are adults. Both of them have the same kind of brains, adult brains. But one mouse has its brain, the receptors
tampered
in it blocked, knocked out.
Yeah.
One mice has the receptors knocked out. The other one has normal amount of the receptors in the brain, like you and I.
The plotting brain.
Whoever is above 18 years old, the plotting brain. Mm-hmm. Okay. So two mice, okay? And when they grow up and transition from young mice to adult mice, during this period of time, they start to notice that the NOGO receptors is actually working to stabilize the brain. But the mouse with lesser receptors,
they
are not affected
childish.
By it. Right.
They're childish mice.
They're childish mice. They're starting to relearn things quicker than the ones with normal amount of receptors in the brain.
I don't really see how they can tell that in mice either, because mice don't do that much, you know. I can see training dogs and cats and stuff, but what do the mice do?
I think, you know, they make them run paths, right? They give them mazes and things to run through.
It's pretty interesting how they can do that.
But I like the word in line 31, adolescence. We use it at the top of the paragraph there, too, adolescent. And that's just a word that speaks to your teenage years.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, I think we're going to have to go on and read more about a promising future, because this is supposed to do something to help us, not just the mice. I mean, after all, who cares whether the mice are the mice?
We're creating happy mice.
Okay. Yeah. Let's read about this promising future for us.
A promising future. This may help explain why youngsters who survive spinal cord injuries and strokes, or who live through extremely traumatic events, tend to recover lost function and move on with their lives so much faster and better than do adults who've sustained the same injuries. Strittmatter suggests that if the brains of adult patients with stroke, PTSD, or spinal cord injury could recapture the plasticity of youth, they too might repair as quickly and thoroughly as youths do. These are the kinds of advances in neuroscience that not only promise help for patients with grievous injuries, they raise a glimmer in the eyes of healthy adults bothered by the loss of cognitive agility that comes with age. Cognitive enhancement to reverse the marginal insults of aging might look awfully seductive to healthy older adults, too, probably because they don't remember the many downsides to having a teenage brain.
And we know that there are a lot of injuries for different things, accidents, motorcycle accidents, all kinds of stuff happening. You see kids and we see people with spinal injuries. And when you've injured your spinal cord, which is on your back there, that's the most important thing. Sometimes you think, well, that person will never walk again, you know. So these are very serious things. You're going to have a stroke. And sometimes people live through these traumatic events. And we talked about traumatic, this word before. It's a very important word.
That's right. It just means something that's very devastating or dramatic that happens to you or that
something
you witness.
Terrible, isn't
something
it?
Terrible, mm-hmm. yes.
Right. Like I think about, you know, the Boston bombings earlier mm-hmm. this year mm-hmm. and things like mm-hmm. that, you know, 911 earthquakes and
typhoons,
right.
cyclones, your houses are blown away. That's
right.
very losing everything you ever had. That's traumatic, isn't
exactly.
it?
Yes. And so now we're talking about how youngsters survive traumatic events and then recover function faster than adults.
Mm-hmm.
They get over it faster. So this man here, Dr. Steven Stittmatter, who is the one that wrote for this Neuron Journal, what does he have to say about that?
Well, he suggests that if the brains of adult patients with strokes or PTSD or spinal cord injury could recapture the plasticity of youth, that would be good. And that's a great word, plasticity. You see the word plastic in there, and it's not that we're building a plastic city. It just means the quality of something being almost like plastic, where it can be changed into a new shape easily.
Well, as you mentioned, it's kind of a great word, but, you know, I don't think it's a word we'll probably put into our vocabulary. I doubt if I'll go
out and talk. I'm going to use it
plasticity.
How about you, Campbell? Don't pull it on me.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll bring it to Let's Talk.
Right, sounds good. But I think what they're really – we're just trying to explain what the word means because we have to know what words mean when we use it. Some words we wouldn't put in our vocabulary. I think the word like trauma and traumatic, that will be a vocabulary word because we see things that are traumatic all the time.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
I doubt whether we're going to talk about the plasticity of it. But anyway, it's good to know what it means.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And so – what we're trying to say is that if we could just recover quicker, like kids or young people do. And so these are kinds of these advances in this, what we call neuroscience. That's what we're talking about. In the science of your brain and what makes it work and how it can function.
Right.
That's the kind of advances that help people. And what kind of people does it help?
People with injury, people right. of all kinds, patients.
Grievous injuries.
Grievous.
Traumatic injuries, right?
I think one thing we have to pay attention also is these injuries has something to do with your nerves,
mm-hmm.
only nerves, like mm-hmm. your brain or spinal cord.
Right.
Right.
The neural system.
Mm-hmm. The neural
yeah.
system.
And
mm-hmm.
it says they raise a glimmer, like a glimmer of hope. A glimmer
right.
means just, wow, there's a little bit of margin. There's something coming up, a little bit of hope in the eyes of healthy adults.
Yeah.
Now, everybody may not, you know, have had a stroke or something. But a lot of adults are worried with this loss of cognitive ability. This word cognitive, you read it a lot if you're studying TESOL and all things like that. What does cognitive mean?
Just your mental processes,
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
your brain works.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and how you learn, how you grow. And here with the cognitive agility just means the, you know, again, going back to the nimbleness about the ability to learn quickly.
If you don't know that word cognitive, you should probably put that one in your vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Probably use it a little bit more than plasticity.
I agree.
Okay.
But it's just the idea of getting older. Right. You forget things. You know, you don't learn things as quickly.
Comes with mm-hmm. age.
Comes with age.
Right. And in order to do that, you want to have this ability to be as good as it can. So we have this two words here, cognitive enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
Enhancement, to make something better.
Right.
To enhance, would you mean to improve?
So improving what?
Your ability to do brain activities, your
so
mental
So if you
processes.
Can't think of something, say, well, I'm working on my cognitive enhancement right now. I might not say that either, but it's nice to know what it means, right?
That's true.
So
right.
a lot of words you need to know what they mean, but you don't necessarily have to talk like that, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Unless you're a professor at the, you know, medical college.
Right, I wouldn't see myself walking around saying, well, I'm in the process of enhancing my cognitive function.
George, how's your cognitive enhancement? What are you doing for cognitive enhancement, Josh?
I'm studying Chinese poorly.
That's good. All right. And that will reverse the small or marginal insults. Insults means things that 讲得不好, things that, you know, mm-hmm. put people down. So
yeah.
it's kind of an insult to say, well, you're getting older and you can't think very well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very marginal, but it might look very enticing or seductive to healthy older adults. You think, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to keep on learning, I'm going to keep studying, and I'm going to increase my cognitive enhancement.
Right? Sure. I mean, wow. Think about it. If you would, you know, all of you are studying English, how would you like to be able to just, you know, look at a word and just memorize it? I constantly hear students say, you know, I study and I memorize the vocabulary, but I forget it the next day. You know, how great would it be if you could learn something really quickly and just absorb it right away?
Well, you know, when I was in New York a few months ago and I went to some of these homes where some of the older people are staying, and I don't know what they call them all. There's plenty of them. Mm-hmm. And they have all just some fancy names. Mm-hmm. But they had a good time there. But I found people 90 and 92 years old reading advanced.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
Wow. That's
fantastic.
And they enjoyed advanced, and they were happy to meet us. And, you know, they were actually working on their cognitive enhancement, I mean, mm-hmm. trying to keep studying. And they were doing well. So encourage people, if you're younger or you're older, and you can still improve this if you just keep on using your brain, right?
That's right. And maybe science one day will offer us a pill that'll plug up our no-go receptors.
The chemical part, I'm not so sure about, you know?
Yeah.
I think what's interesting here is that earlier it talked about that young brains are able to recover from these injuries not just quickly but thoroughly, meaning that, you know, maybe an adult brain can recover, but there's still a little bit traces of the trauma or traces of the damage. But younger brains, they recover more thoroughly.
Yeah, they can forget it and go on, right?
Yeah.
Usually they can, I guess. What do you think, Steph?
Yeah, when I think of this, I think especially in healthy older adults, you know, when they try to regain their memory or they wanted to have a better cognitive enhancement. Mm-hmm. But they try to find ways to regain this ability when they were younger compared to when they're younger. Yes. So it's amazing how this study teaches us that there's many things that neuroscience is working on right now in research that helps to regain a lot of things that we have lost.
Mm. If you said to somebody older and you say, well, how would you like to have your teenage brain? And they would say, boy, that would be great. And they might forget the bad parts, the downsides to having a teenage brain. What are the downsides to having a teenage brain?
Well, we talked a little about those yesterday, that perhaps you're emotional, you're unstable.
Can't make good judgments.
Yes, yeah. You feel insecure, you mentioned, Campbell. What does that mean?
It just means that, you know, you're not confident in who you are, and you're not confident in your place in this world, and you just don't feel stable.
Well, you know, they talked about chemical things. There's things in your genes and then these chemical things that they've done. But don't you think your body also produces chemicals sometimes that does things in your body, too? Not that man-made, but your body does, too, doesn't it?
Like hormones, that kind of chemical as well in your body.
Right. Those are kind of chemical things that affect, right?
Yeah. And we talked about, you mentioned sensors you put on the brain of mice or people to see it. We actually, in the box in the center, they also talk about time gap photographs that they took of the brain cells.
Hey, why don't you read that, George?
Sure. It says, in the study, the Yale researchers essentially took time gap photographs of groups of brain cells and the way they connected to one another in the brains of mice. When they bred mice without the gene, they documented that even into adulthood, the cells they recorded continuously arranged themselves into constantly changing configurations themselves at the same frantic pace seen in adolescent mice.
In other words, they never grew up.
They never did. Mm-hmm. Childish mice. That the brains of mice with normal levels of no-go receptor 1, by contrast, settle down to a more stately pattern of reconstitution.
Okay, now maybe like if you get to be 40 or something, you ask those people, would you like to be 18 again? And they maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, some people would.
Well, they would. But, you know, there's nice things about being 18. But by the time you're 40, you've learned a lot of more stable things and you make better judgments. So do you think you'd like to be 18 again?
Well, I think it's the old adage of if you only knew then what you know now.
Right.
So if you could go back. But using the experience and the wisdom
impossible.
That you have.
I don't think they can arrange that yet, can they?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I think we have just time for a short skit now.
Well, hello, Nancy. So good to see you once again. How may I help you?
Oh, Dr. Gray, I'm worried about getting old. It seems like I keep forgetting things.
Nancy, that's just a normal part of the aging process. As we get older, our brain loses some of its nimbleness.
But I'm a high-profile advertising executive, and I need to be sharp to do my job. Isn't there some medication you can give me to make me smart?
I don't know if I have any medicine that homes in on making people smarter. Nancy, if there was, well, I think everybody would be taking it.
I was reading about some neuroscience studies where researchers were able to stimulate the brains of mice and make them smart again.
Are you a mouse?
No, but I do like cheese.
While there has been research in reconfiguring the memory and learning pattern of mice, I'm afraid the science is a long way from being used on humans.
It's so embarrassing, Dr. Gray. I can't remember detailed sales numbers from 10 years ago or calculations that were used to create our statistical analysis. My brain just plods along.
What you're talking about sounds quite normal, Nancy. Remembering old statistics and mathematical calculations from years ago. Well, there's a reason for that.
Really? What?
It's called selective memory, Nancy. There's only so much information that we can remember. Our brains maintain important information, but knock out trivial matters as we age.
So, this lack of plasticity in my brain is normal?
Very normal, Nancy. You're doing fine, so stop worrying about your brain.
Okay, if you say so. Thank you, Dr. Gray. You always make me feel better.
That's my job.
Okay, well, thanks for being with us, and thanks, Stephanie. I'm sure you'll get a lot of emails about this and Facebook things, so thanks for being with us.
No problem. It's great to be here.
Yes, and congratulations to all our students who stuck with us on a tough article.
Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Okay, see you tomorrow for a new article. Goodbye now.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.